If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard, Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. You know, a lot of people have been getting shot or getting shot at in Las Vegas so far this new year. Of course, everyone is aware of the nut job that walked into the federal courthouse, shot two different guys in there. One of them died. The other one, he's actually been released from the hospital as of yesterday at home healing. And then the guy that did the shooting got shot and killed. And another guy, I think it was the day before that. No, maybe it was the day after that. He walked into the county courthouse and shot himself, committed suicide, right there in the courthouse. Let's see. Yesterday, a gang officer shot at a homicide suspect. One shot, and then the guy decided to give up, but he missed. So, you know, lousy shot. If you're in a situation where you need to pull your gun and you need to shoot, it shouldn't be one shot, the guy surrenders, and you're done. It should be, okay, you're in fear of death or serious bodily injury to yourself or someone else. So you're shooting to stop this guy. First round counts. And if it's a miss, well, you're not doing your job properly. Anyhow, the guy didn't get shot, and he surrendered. And that was because they were doing an investigation on a 17-year-old kid in that same area that was chased down, shot, and killed by two suspects earlier in the day. And then just this morning, I am driving into work, and I hear that somebody at an industrial tire shop in the, really the north end, out on Losey Road, out in a big industrial area, and a tire shop was shot sometime earlier this morning. So a lot of people shooting their guns in Vegas at other people so far this year. That is a little bit of a disturbing trend. However, it makes me consider moving back to Vegas so I can get involved. Nobody's inviting me to this sort of deal. I just don't quite get it. The whole thing at the federal courthouse. Now, it's interesting. I give you the news probably way after you've heard it because all of this is happening as soon as I get off the air. It's another, you know, 22 and a half hours until I can get on the air and talk about it. 87 different guys returned fire on the guy in the federal courthouse that shot the two people. Seven different guys. All right. Of those seven guys, 81 rounds were fired. Of those 81 rounds, two hit the suspect. One of them in the head, which is the one that killed him. 81 rounds. Now let's take one of those rounds off to make this easy, to make the math that I'm about to talk about easy. Let's say it was 80 rounds as opposed to 81 rounds. If it were 80 rounds with two hits, the math works out to a 2.5% hit ratio. Another way of saying that is a 97.5% miss ratio. All right. So if you're firing 40 rounds and 39 of them miss, that is absolutely, completely unacceptable. I think the only worse hit ratio in history was where they say that something like 50,000 rounds of infantry fire in Vietnam took out one of the enemy. 50,000 rounds. One of them actually killed an enemy. Now, that's even worse, but we're talking a war zone. When we're talking about this 81 rounds with two hits, we're talking in a congested downtown area where the only vegetation is something that was planted there to look nice. Other than that, it's brick, asphalt, and concrete. So we have 79 rounds that went somewheres screaming downrange. We talk about the Rule 4 issue. Let me recap the four universal firearm safety rules. Rule 1, treat every gun as if it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point the muzzle at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Rule 4, be aware of your target, what's in line with your target, both in the foreground and in the background. Now, I don't know where these people were positioned when they were returning fire at the bad guy. The bad guy had a 12-gauge shotgun. He fired 2 rounds indoors. One of them killed one of the security screeners. The other one shot a deputy U.S. Marshal. Then he fired 3 rounds outdoors when he was in the gun battle with these other 5, I think. If I remember I was watching the, I guess all the different law enforcement guys that wanted to get up there and give some sort of a news briefing or, whatever you want to call it. These guys are standing up. The sheriff was out there. One of the detectives from homicide was there. One of the guys from the marshal's office was there. One of the FBI director guys, assistants in charge or something was out there. All these guys were having a press conference. And during that, I believe they said that the 2 federal employees that were shot also had returned fire. And I think there was another 5 or 6 guys in addition to that that chased him outside and got into this gun battle that resulted in 79 misses. If you're going to carry a gun, you are absolutely responsible. It is absolutely incumbent upon you to be able to use that gun to the fullest of the gun's potential and yours. If you're just going to go buy a gun, get a minimally sufficient CCW permit and carry the gun and believe, because you bought a gun, you took some 8-hour CCW class, somebody approved this concealed weapons permit, and now you've got it, and you think that's all you need, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. And the sad fact of it is, you will probably not realize quite how mistaken you really are until the moment that you realize that you are reaching back for that gun to grab it, to defend a life, yours or someone else's, and you realize, my God, I really don't know what I'm doing. Guys, that is the wrong time to realize that you don't have the right training. That is the worst time to realize it, is at the instant that you need it. And the only hope that you've got that at that moment, the bad guy, the adversary that you're facing, is less qualified with a gun than you are. That's the only hope you have. And let me tell you something a little bit about bad guys training with guns. Back in my days of being a Las Vegas Metro cop, there was an area, if you went out Lake Mead Boulevard out of North Las Vegas, way up the east side, towards Lake Mead, there was an area between the mountains. All that's still unincorporated Clark County until you get to the Lake Mead National Recreation Area border. That was still Metro's jurisdiction. Occasionally we drive out there, see what's going on. We had reports of people shooting. Now, you can't shoot out there any longer. Well, one of our guys goes out there and he sees some gangbangers in a car. They had stacked some stuff up on some rocks and they were practicing drive-bys. Practicing the drive-bys. Now, there was no way we were about to take these guys down while they're practicing the drive-bys. And we stayed at a safe distance, stayed in observation, and when they came back to town, there was a felony vehicle stop. Because these guys were out there with guns. The car came back from somebody who was a known gang member. And if we know they're out there with guns practicing and practicing drive-by shootings, probably safe to bet that they're not upstanding citizens. So a felony car stop was done. Everybody in the car was wanted. They all went to jail. Guns and cars and everything were all impounded and investigated. All of the guns were reported stolen or missing, one way or another. So if you think bad guys don't practice, a lot of them don't. Some of them do. And you're just relying on the numbers, sheer numbers. Now, you may remember a shooting that happened in a mall in Tacoma, Washington, about 12 or 15 years ago, where a kid is in there with a semi-automatic rifle just randomly shooting people. There was a guy in there. He'd had a concealed weapons permit for years, just in case something like this happens. He pulls his gun out, and he says to the kid, instead of shooting this kid, who's walking around shooting and murdering people, instead of just shooting him in the chest a couple, two, three, four times, he says to the kid, son, you better put down that gun. And the kid turns to him and shot him. Action versus reaction. The kid was acting with the rifle, and then the would-be good Samaritan didn't end it by shooting him. The kid went on to shoot many more people. You must be prepared. You have to get the right training, you have to keep up with the practice, and you must have the proper mindset. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, folks, if you're going to have a driver's license, what are your responsibilities? Well, your responsibilities are to be able to operate the vehicle safely and efficiently. Not cut off a bunch of other people, not be erratic with stomping on the accelerator or pounding on the brakes. You know, signaling before you move your 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 pound mobile missile around. Have some insurance on the vehicle. Just operate it safely. Make sure that it is in a safe operating manner. It's not, your car isn't some junky, dangerous piece of junk on the road. You know, the brakes work. There's not any leaks in the fuel system where the fuel's going to drip onto the headers and cause a fire. That happened to me once. So, you know, there's some responsibilities when you've got a vehicle. You know how to drive in different weather conditions, not just sunny and dry, but, you know, maybe if it's dark out or rainy or dark and rainy, dark, rainy, windy, maybe snowy, icy, depending on the part of the country that you might be in. There's some responsibilities to it. And as you drive more, you get better. Too many people, when they decide they want to exercise their Second Amendment right, they go to a gun store, they buy a gun, they buy a box of ammunition, they set the things, they load the gun, set it into the nightstand, leave it there, never touch it again, until the moment where somebody breaks in their house and breaks down their bedroom door. As they're grabbing the gun, they realize they have no idea what they're doing. Now take it one step further. They buy the gun, they buy the ammo, they take a basic concealed weapons course where they learn mainly about the laws and where you're not allowed to carry. Then they teach you, all right, well, if you're in fear of imminent death or serious bodily injury to you or a loved one, you can then use your gun to shoot at the bad guy. All the rest of it is where you're not allowed to carry the gun and why. What you're not allowed to do with it. That's what most CCW courses are about. All about, okay, you can't carry in a school, can't carry in a government building, can't carry in a post office, you can't carry in a bar, can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other, can't. What you can do is, if you're in fear of death or serious bodily injury, imminently from an adversary, against yourself or a loved one, you can then respond by pulling out your gun and shooting them and being within the coordinates of the law. Okay? That's the only what you can do. Then, in most states, you have some really cheesy sort of qualification test. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm a little disappointed in one aspect of the concealed weapons system for the state of Utah. Utah has a state-run system. You don't have to go to your local police chief or sheriff. You apply to the state. The Bureau of Criminal Investigation, BCI, handles all of the CCW applications. They manage all of the CCW instructors. The course is 8 hours. However, you don't fire a single shot. There's no qualification for it, which sucks. I mean, it really does. It sucks. It's all classroom stuff. You can almost set up a PowerPoint, make sure that your laptop is charged up long enough and there's a big screen that it goes to, and walk out of the room and have breaks scheduled where the thing automatically goes again. There's a written test, big whoop, but there's no shooting test. Now, and the Utah concealed weapons permit is very good to get because it's recognized in over 30 other states. You have over half the country recognized if you happen to have a Utah concealed weapons permit. Of course, I've got one. I've been a Utah CCW instructor. So when people get that CCW and then throw it, the gun in a holster and start carrying it around, and if, again, say all you've got is Utah or you're in Utah, something like that, where there is no shooting, you may be walking around packing, having never fired a shot. Not likely, but it has happened. I guarantee you there's people out there with CCW permits who have never shot more than what's required in the CCW class. And if that requirement is zero, there's people out there packing who have fired zero rounds out of that gun. Maybe zero rounds ever. But they've got the gun. That is just plain irresponsible. If that's you, you shouldn't be carrying a gun right now. You need to get properly trained in defensive techniques. In that case, stay tuned for the 2A Radio 3-Day Handgun Course coming up in March. I've announced it's going to be March 19, 2021. Those dates might be in flux. I may have to push that forward one weekend back to, like, I think it'd be the 12th, 13th, 14th. Stay tuned. I'm dealing with the ranges. So, you need to be in, it's incumbent upon you to get proper defensive training. That's not what you're going to find at some indoor range at a gun shop. Proper defensive training. And once you get that training, practice, improve, and keep up on it, because your life and the life of the people that you are with are dependent upon your ability to respond to a lethal or potentially lethal imminent threat. And if you are not prepared for that, that'd be like not being prepared for emergency driving, swerving out of the way. You'll roll the car and everybody's going to get injured. Some may die. It's the same thing if you're not trained and prepared physically and mentally to carry the gun that you've got. More thoughts on more things coming up after the break. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back. So, there's a lot of news going on about this would-be Christmas Day airline bomber. This scumbag from Yemen that caught a couple of flights. The final destination was Detroit, where he wanted to blow up the plane. Now, just outside of Detroit in Dearborn, Michigan, is the largest settlement of Middle Eastern Muslims in all of the Americas. And there's hundreds of thousands all huddled together. And, you know, Detroit has by far the worst economy. They've had the worst impact from the economy of any metropolis in the entire country, by far. I had heard that the real estate prices there were in the toilet. I actually went online last week and looked up the real estate in Detroit. And it was like on Yahoo Real Estate or something. And there was a lot of homes that were up for auction for under $5,000. Lots of them. I could have bought a house for $1,200. Obviously, sight unseen. It costs more to travel there, look at it, and travel back than actually buy it. Which means that real estate values really have no value. The land isn't worth anything. The homes are old enough that not even the stuff inside is worth anything. I wonder if even the copper piping is still left in the walls. But that area of Detroit is really terrible. This is not the first time we've had somebody either en route to or en route from or with ties to the Dearborn, Michigan, Middle Eastern Muslim population that we've had trouble with. Not the first time by far. I've got to tell you what I absolutely cannot stand is when some absolute idiot stands up and talks about how Islam is the religion of peace. It's the religion of piece of garbage. If you're going to be one of the radicals that decides you need to kill all of the infidels that don't join your religion. What I really couldn't stand was when President Mohammed Obama Akbar got up and said, you could say that the United States is a Muslim nation. You could say that if you're a complete freaking idiot. And a complete freaking idiot did say that. The United States is nowhere near a Muslim nation. 70% of the population claim to be Christian. Over 90% claim to be Judeo-Christian or have beliefs leaning in either of those two directions. Everybody else is a Muslim or a Hindu or a whatever else there is out there. Maybe they are members of the Church of the Celestial Bunny. Now, the Church of the Celestial Bunny is actually a very nice, pleasant church. It's not radical like Scientology. It's not radical like the radical Muslims. It's just not. So, one thing that I have talked about on the show before is you have the First Amendment right to free speech. However, it does get to a point to where you have some responsibility about that, such as the whole shouting fire in a crowded theater thing that we always hear about. Also to sit here, like if you wanted to sit here and say something along the lines of to the, you know, if somebody got up and said something about killing the president, there's a law against that. So your freedom of speech rights, they have some boundaries. Not a bunch, but they have some. And keep in mind, the First Amendment is meant to protect you from the government, not from individuals. If somebody comes up to me and says something that the First Amendment, I can say whatever I want. Now, that protects you from the government. It doesn't protect you from me smacking you in the mouth if you're a jackass. Here's the great country artist Trace Adkins talking about just that.
Excuse me? First Amendment. Son, the First Amendment protects you from the government, not from me. You can say whatever you want to out there. You come within reach of me, I'll exercise my right to give you a good old country ass whooping. What I'll do, by God.
So, with that being said, when a religion professes, okay, here's what we're going to do. Everybody, Muhammad, the prophet, right, of Islam, Muhammad says through the Quran, everybody needs to be Muslim. Everybody needs to practice Islam. So here's the deal. Everybody who's not a Muslim, you invite them into our religion. If they refuse, you then force them into the religion. And if that doesn't work, kill them. Now, something tells me that the whole freedom of religion, that has some restraints. Some enterprising guys back in the 70s decided to try and start a religion that said, we don't pay taxes. Now, if you've listened to the Dave Champion Show, 3 o'clock Central Time here on RBN, and you're familiar with Dave and the tax honesty movement, you realize you don't need religion to not pay personal income tax. You just need to know how the system works and get out of the system. What Dave does for a living. That's his main business. And if you have an interest in that, he's got his book coming out, so check that out when it comes out. So they were told, no, sorry, you can't do that. You can't have a religion that has a main portion of it where you don't pay taxes because, hey, you're trying to take out of our pockets. So the court said you can't do that. If a religion says, if you don't become part of us, we're going to force you into it, which is illegal, or we'll kill you, obviously illegal, something tells me that that religion shouldn't be allowed, or at least those provisions shouldn't be. And this is coming from the same groups where in most of the Arab countries, most of the Muslim countries in the Middle East, mere possession of a Bible, wearing a crucifix around your neck on a chain, even saying the word Jesus Christ, can get you killed. The government says in Saudi Arabia, if you have a Bible, the punishment for mere possession of a Bible within the country is death. However, we've got this jackass Muhammad Allah Akbar Obama standing up on stage saying, you could say the United States is a Muslim country. Look at all these great things the Muslim faith has brought to us. Look at all these wonderful things they've brought to us. Okay, they've brought to us sand, which we heat up and make glass with. They have brought to us really, really stinky animals in the form of camels. They've brought to us the very fashionable bed sheet. And they've also brought to us the turban. Now, we don't really do much of anything with those as clothing. We actually put the bed sheet on the bed where it belongs and don't wear it around. In the turban, we would usually take off, wad it up, put it into a sack, and call it a pillow. And if Muhammad is going to say, you know what? Invite him, force him, or kill him. Well, to that I say, Muhammad is a wise mouth little punk. And if any of your followers don't like hearing that, come by. I will slap you with a ham sandwich. If you're going to take these guys and tell them, this is a holy war. Everyone is a participant. Well, you know what? A lot of us aren't aware that we are personally involved in war. So if you want to bring that to airliners or blow things up or do one ridiculous act against unarmed people simply because you believe that the people around you probably have beliefs other than what you want them to have, Muhammad, that your little disciple goofballs should kill them, essentially blow them up. The most cowardly holy war religious sect I have ever come across in the history of mankind is the current Islamic jihadists. Most cowardly little girls I have ever seen in the history of mankind. Where they won't go up and actually confront anybody. They'll strap on something explosive, sneak around like you won't notice them. Oh, don't look at me, don't look at me. I'm blending. Have a whole bunch of people around them and holler, Allah Akbar, meaning God is great, and boom, they blow it up and they try to kill a lot of people. Of course, they go with themselves. It's called a homicide bomber. It's not a suicide bomber. It is a homicide bomber. You understand? Fox News actually has it right. It is a homicide bomber. If you don't think that is the most cowardly piece of garbage that goes out and does that, even more cowardly are the scumbags that send them out because they're not willing to do it themselves. They want to get other guys to go out and do it. That is about as cowardly an act as a living creature can possibly have. I think it is actually more noble to eat your own young. To eat your own children, I think, is a more noble act than these recruiters that recruit guys to go up and go up and launch these bombs. They're all just a bunch of idiots. And they're absolute cowards. Total, moronic, little cowards. I think a kitten has more intestinal fortitude than these little babies. I really do. And if Mohammed is the one preaching that, well, you know something? Oftentimes, if I'm reading something and I realize the author is a complete moronic idiot, I stop reading it and I realize I need to consider the source. This guy was a complete moron. Total idiot, whoever wrote this. And I move on. And then I start reading other things until I find something I like and realize, okay, this author's got it together. Well, if what Muhammad put in the Quran is moronic and idiotic, stop reading it, dummies, and start reading something that actually makes sense. Everybody needs to be Muslim or you need to kill him. And the guys of today have decided we're not going to stand up and actually go out and do this killing. What we're going to do is we're going to recruit younger guys and have them put on bombs and blend, pray that they blend, go up, and then boom, blow up a bunch of unarmed people who are just going about their day or taking a flight, whatever it is. I just want to take a bone-in ham because pork to these guys, it'll send them straight to hell. They'll never reach, you know, the Holy Land. And I just want to slap them with a pound of bacon. Or when they've got their mouth open and they're spewing all their rhetoric, throw some bacon bits at them and hope one lands in their mouth because they're going to hell. I told you about my solution to this whole thing going on in the Muslim world where we take a Chinook helicopter and a bunch of pigs. We bleed all of the pigs out, keep all of their blood, and then put a something that keeps it from coagulating in there, a non-coagulant. Then we take the bloodless, empty pig carcasses. We throw them in the back of one of those big twin-rotor Chinook helicopters. And we put a wood chipper in the back and lower the back end down. Then we take all the blood and we load it into the tanks of an agricultural spraying plane, one that you like see spraying pesticides. And we go over a field. You'd only need to do 1 acre. And spray it with the pig blood and then throw all of the carcasses into the wood chipper and have all the pig pieces all over this field. And this field would be one that is used for farming. You know, actually, the Chinook and the wood chipper and the pig is just a little, a little icing on the cake. I think that the ag sprayer with the pork blood would do just fine. And then you send out leaflets of what we did. Let them know we're going to do this over the cities, over Mecca, over everything else. If you don't get in line and leave us alone. I think that'll work just fine. We want to hit them right where their religion sits. And if you're following this doofus Muhammad, you're reading the writings of a rambling idiot, which makes you the follower of a rambling idiot. And I'm going to slap you with a ham sandwich. John in Tennessee calling in to weigh in on line one. John, welcome to 2A Radio.
Oh, I appreciate it again, Bill. Listen, because of my profession, I was in the Dearborn area for years and years. Got to meet a lot of Arabs. And one in particular was telling me, are you familiar with this story about the keys to heaven?
I am not. But
I
want to tell you something real quick. We only have about a minute and a half until the break. So make the story quick or set it up, and then we can finish it in the next break.
Okay,
I'll leave it to you.
I'll set it up, and then I'll finish it. I've got a friend that his father owned a trucking company in Iran, similar to like Ryder, very wealthy individual.
Now, do you mean they strapped a bunch of camels together with carts and they...
No, actually, truck and trailer.
Okay,
legitimate business.
Okay.
And his father told him at that time, stay away from the mullahs. Stay away from the Mahdi's because they were evil men. Now, this is a Muslim man.
Mm-hmm.
The keys to heaven has to do with the Mahdi's and the Ayatollahs asking children, Bill, if they want to go to heaven. And for a price, I think if I remember correctly, he told me it was like 2 cents. They bought a little tiny key on a string, kiss the Quran, walk under the Quran and get on a bus. And they take them to minefields and sent these kids out in minefields.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. And that they would send them through the minefield so that the soldiers could actually go, and this is part of the Iran-Iraq war that they were doing.
Right.
And this is
and
exactly
I'll finish
the...
it up after the break.
Sounds good, yes. But I remember hearing all about that and just what a cowardly set of acts. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. John in Tennessee, finish up.
Okay. Okay, I'll finish up, and then I want to comment one more thing about Dearborn. This isn't something that I made up, guys. This is a man that's my age. I'm in my 50s. He was born and raised in Tehran. You know, this is something that he told me. So they do value human life, though, Bill, because first they sent mules and donkeys into the minefield. When they ran out of mules and donkeys, they waited only until then to send children. But this was what was going on. Now, as far as Michigan and Dearborn area, I met some interesting people, Bill, like Nobby Berry, who was an attorney for General Motors and wound up funding terrorism through some illegal activities.
Lovely.
And I was basically involved in because I seen he was doing it. People like Ali Jawad, who came out of the Dearborn area. Here's what I find really, really interesting. Harry Dearborn was the Secretary of War under Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
And Jackson was a Christian man, supposedly. Harry Dearborn was an avowed atheist. The city of Dearborn, Michigan, folks, was named after Harry Dearborn, Andrew Jackson's Secretary of War. So what better place, where else in America would you expect the exact antithesis of Christianity as we know it to live and reside in America other than a city that was named after a atheistic Secretary of War?
That's a very interesting point. Very interesting.
I always say, don't believe me. Look at the facts yourself. I'm not blowing smoke, people. This is real. It's in our face, it's in the open, and it's so outrageous that very few people will dare look at it because it's hard to look at the truth.
John, we have about 30 seconds to finish up any other stories about Dearborn, or are you done?
I'm done.
Thanks. All right, John. Thanks very much for calling and weighing in. Somebody who's actually been up there, thanks again. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Okay, guys, so now you've got my piece and obviously John's piece on just the cowardly acts of these devout extremists when it comes to Muslim and Islam. I got to tell you, they have their five pillars of Islam, which would be like the way that we view the Ten Commandments. Nothing in there says anything at all about peace. The nicest thing that they have is give money to the poor. It's ridiculous. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Send your comments to bill@2aradio.com. Stay tuned for the Lenman News Hour coming up next, followed by the Ernest Hancock Show. Folks, have a great day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not bow. I will not bow.